Item 6.3, which was emailed, posted to the SCV Water website, and is at each of our spots. The modification on the resolution was that the funding request was reduced by $32 from $5,304,672 to $5,304,640 due to fine tuning of the application, which was submitted on Thursday, December 15th. All right, so hopefully you'll understand which item that relates to. So I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
So moved, Gutsight.
Motion by Director Gutsight. We're still waiting for Director Cooper. There he is. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Director Ford. And before we take a vote, I think we should ask for public comment. I do think we had a public comment. I don't have any public comment cards. I take that back. I do have one wandering around here somewhere. Oh, here it is. I do have a public comment card on item 6.2 from Joan Dunn. If Ms. Dunn has not left the building, I don't see her, unless she's hiding. All right, if she comes back, I will invite her to make her public comment. And we have a motion and a second. Director Armitage.
I just have a couple comments. So for 6.2, the local hazard mitigation plan, I just wanted to say that I appreciated having the opportunity to reread the plan. And I consider it to be a really important document for this agency. And I look forward to hearing about the updates as noted that will come to us as progress reports as to how we're meeting the stated actions. I also want to say thank you to whoever included the public comments that were made when, I guess, the survey went out initially related to it. I thought those were really great for us to be able to read those and see what the public was commenting about in terms of the bar charts, but also the individual comments. So I know that was a lot of extra paper. Thank you for including that. I really appreciated that. And then lastly, for 6.4, I just want to say thank you to the staff, who I take to mean Ms. Fowler, who's submitting the grant application. It looks like we're not paying a consulting group to do this one. We're doing this in-house ourselves, and I think that's fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. I neglected to ask if there are any public comments online for the consent calendar.
There is not.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion from the board? We do have a motion and a second. Unless there's further discussion, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Gutsight.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley. Director Colley. I'll come back to Director Colley. Director Kelly.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, thank you, Director Colley. For record, that was Director Colley who voted yes. Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Vice President Ozahosky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass, and those are resolution numbers SCV-322, SCV-323, SCV-324, and SCV-325.
All right. Thank you, Board. We can move on to item 7, action item, single item for approval. Item 7.1, approve, receiving, and filing SCV Water June 30, 2022 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. Our presenter tonight is Rochelle Patterson, unless General Manager Stone wishes to have comments to begin.
Only while she's walking out.
President Martin, did you want to mention that there was the revised?
I think she's going to cover that. But
did I? Excuse me.
The revised items that were handed out and sat their spot and was posted.
Seven. Oh, yes. Before you go on, Rochelle, I need to mention that there was a revised staff report, and the ACFR sent out yesterday, posted to the website, and is at each of our spots. The staff report showed the changes of on a red line, and the ACFR changes are highlighted in yellow. So important to make that notification. And Ms. Patterson, proceed, please.
Yes. So Amy Ager, our controller, is going to be presenting this item, and she will also touch on the reason why there is an amended report in your packet.
Good evening, President Martin and members of the board. I'm an audit nerd, so I'm here to present your audit at a high level. I'm happy to answer any questions about the audit. As the recent collapse of FTX has shown, audits are really important and internal controls are really important. Unfortunately, there's fraud at government agencies as well. So I'm really happy to report that we have really good auditors and our staff has a lot of integrity. And this audit this year has no findings. And we got a clean opinion, which is the best unmodified opinion you can get. So we have our first slide. Rochelle asked me to go over, because this is kind of the first presentation of the audit as a whole for this group of the board. She asked me to go over at a high level the different sections of the revised board, or revised ACFR is what it's called, the annual comprehensive report. So I was just gonna do like a flyover. So if you have your revised report, if you turn to the first page, this is your table of contents, and it will show you all the different items in here. Because if I weren't an accountant and I picked this up, I'd think, okay, there's a bunch of printing, there's a bunch of numbers. What does it mean? So there's three main sections. There's an introductory section, there's a financial section, and then if you turn the page over, there's a statistical section, okay? If you go to page, let's see, there's Roman numerals. So if you go to page I, Roman numeral one, that begins the transmittal letter that is drafted by Rochelle and Matt Stone, and Matt signs it. It gives information to readers of our financial statements about the economics in our area, trends, unemployment, you know, hiring, inflation, all about the agency. It's so that people that are non-technical accounting people can get a feel for our agency. There's a lot of good information there. If you want to read about another agency, that's a good place to learn about them. Then if you turn to Roman numeral 13, that's a map that shows our service map. So if you have any constituents that are curious about our service area, it's right in here. This document is on our website. If you turn to the next page, you'll notice some familiar faces, our board of directors, and then our organizational structure is shown on the page next to our familiar board of directors. And then one of the most important pages, it's page one, but if you just turn to the next page, this is our auditor's independent report, where they tell you, independent of staff, that what they found, and they gave us a clean opinion, which is the best we can do. Then if you go a few more pages, it's page five. This is another major section. This is a good section. Perhaps board members would want to read it because it gives you some summary information. It discusses the changes. That's the management discussion and analysis. And if you go to pages 8 and 9, that shows you summary level tables. These are kind of more in English than the ones in fine, you know, 2-point font. But it shows you, it's called the statement of net position. In English, if anybody's been in business, that's a balance sheet. And then there's the, you know, government accounting has to have a different name for everything. So then we have, instead of the profit and loss, it's called The statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. In English, that's a profit and loss.
Okay.
Net position is a fancy word for equity. So for anyone that owns a home, let's say, hypothetically speaking, your home is worth $500,000. If you owe $200,000 on it, then your equity is $300,000. So the equity, the paper gain, is $300,000. And then you may not have $300,000 cash in the bank, but your equity in your home is $300,000. So that's what net position is. Because like I said, government has to call everything something different. If you go to page 11, here's a table on, these have two tables, capital assets and our debt. You'll see that if you look at capital assets, we have capital assets not being depreciated. Those are made up of land and then our construction work in progress. We have over $100 million in projects in progress right now. So that tells you how much work is going on. But we spent almost $49 million on capital assets and projects. $12.5 million of that was debt funded with our bond proceeds. Almost $25 million of it was PAYGO. And then we had another $11.6 million that was for vehicles, tech, services, state water project, and other water rights. Then we have this item, if you're on page 11, you'll see accumulated depreciation and amortization. You'll see over here the variance is $38,000. That's non-cash, so it didn't cost us any cash, but it's depreciation. That number, until we did the research and got the revision, that number was $58 million higher, and that would have been a direct decrease of our net position or equity. And so after it went to the F&A committee, I really started thinking that didn't make sense to me. So I did a lot more research working with staff and went back to the audited financials back to 7980 and recreated all of that work. And so we're going to fix it. And it turns out our depreciation was correct. It was when we converted into Oracle, it caught a date from our conversion back in 2007. So a lot of detail just to say Oracle fixed it and then we refixed it. So that's the main reason for the change. Okay. Next section, if you go to page 13, these are the basic financial statements. A lot of technical stuff there. Page 19 shows the notes to the financial statement. This is another really good area. If you want to learn about an agency, a government agency, you can read the notes. There's a lot more detail. And then if you go back to page 63, shows the basic financial statements, but it's broken out between the large agency and the three, they're called BCUs, blended component units. And in English, all that means is it's a small separate legal entity, but this board controls it. So it's blended into our big audit. So that includes the upper SCV JPA, Devil's Den, and the SCV GSA. So those are included there if you ever wanted to see those audits. Another really important another one talking about FTX and the importance of internal controls. If you go to page 69, there's a letter, a report from our auditors on our internal controls, shows that everything's fine. If something wasn't fine, they are required to report it to you. And then our last section, last but not least, is the statistical section. And the description of the different schedules begins on page 71 and then goes through the rest. And that shows in more graphic illustration the trends for our agency.
Okay. Next slide, April, please. So this slide shows the main change. The top portion there shows what our ACFR, the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, looked like before we fixed this correction. There was $53.8 million in depreciation on our Earl Schmidt plant, and it goes way back, but way back when our agency was using DataStream, they converted into SunGard in 2007, and they just added up everything that was paid into Earl Schmidt between January 1, 80 and 2007, lumped it in and put it in service January 1st, 1980. So we went from zero to 100 plus million. So then when we converted into Oracle, Oracle said, oh, forget this. This should have been fully depreciated by now, and hit the financials with another $53 million in depreciation. So that's when I went back and researched. I'm like, no. So it turns out upon recalculating based on those very legacy financials that our depreciation was correct. It's just, you know, Oracle's very specific, and that's a strength of the program, but it was just, as Rochelle would say, one of those niggling things that carried forward through a really old conversion into this one. So the good news is our corrected restatement, we do have a restatement of 408,000, but that is for, you've met our fleet and warehouse manager, Jesus. And one of the first things he did when he started with the agency, he went around, he quantified, categorized, inventoried every vehicle, every generator. He was told, oh, there's like three or four. And he, at last count, he was at 22. So these are for adding some assets that that he quantified. And once we went into Oracle, we spent a lot of time making sure everything was tied out. So it's been great to have him on staff to help with that. Any questions on this slide?
Before we go to questions from the board, do we have any public comments online? I have no public comment cards.
We do not.
Very good.
Okay, next slide, please, April.
Not done yet. Thought we were done.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't hear what was said. One more slide, please. There we go. Okay. Statement of net position. Once again, net position is the same thing as equity. So your personal net worth or equity. So the left bunch of columns is what we own, our assets. The middle column are our liabilities, or what the agency owes. So if you take what we own and subtract what we owe, that gives us our net position. And I know one of the questions one of our directors likes to ask is, how is our net position? So you can see over the 3 years, the far right columns, our net position has been increasing, which shows the health of the agency is improving. Next slide, please, April. Okay, net position for government agencies has three very specific components. The big blue bar is what's called net investment in capital assets. And as you can imagine, we have massive dollars in our plants, our water treatment plants, our mains, our sewers, you know, little sewer, the booster stations, our office buildings. So that is what's in the blue bar. And you can see it's been going up because we've been building plant. And then also developers have been contributing projects to us as they complete those. And our capital assets, we have $144 million between our land and our construction in progress And then we have 1.2 billion in plant assets, vehicles, computers, buildings, everything. So that has gone up. The orange bar over those 3 years is restricted net position. That means we have some equity, but we can only use it for what we received it for. So the taxes we receive for State Water Project, that's restricted to be used only for State Water Project. Our bond proceeds, our 2020A bond, we still have some money, that's restricted. And then the other part that's restricted is our capacity fees. So those have to be used for future growth projects. And then the top one is our unrestricted net position. And that's our working capital. We can use that for whatever the board designates it for. And that has gone down over the last 3 years because we've put almost $49 million into capital assets, and we've also paid down our debt. So we're doing good things. It's just a lot of that went into our capital asset blue bar. All right. Next slide, please, April. Here's our long-term debt. We have four active issues, the 1999A. Our auditor pointed out at the F&A committee that this is the first year that we've started paying cash debt service on the 99A certificates of appreciation or certificates of participation or the capital appreciation bonds. They're both. So that debt service is about $10.5 million a year. It started in fiscal year 22. It's $10.5 million each year through fiscal year 31. Our other debt service is the 2018A, 2020A, and then our big kahuna in the yellow here is the 2020B, and that's a large debt issuance because we refunded three debt services with it. We did 2015A, 2016A, and 2017A, and saved money when we did that. So those are the four. Any questions on that? Director Gutzeit?
Do you want to wait till the end? I would say, since we don't have any public comment, I doubt if we're going to have any, I would say go ahead and go with your question.
Okay. I just want to ask really quickly, if you know this, I remember at F&A he mentioned the capital appreciation debt is unusual. Or currently unusual. It used to be more common. And I have heard that it's unfavorable. Can at some point we talk about that? If not tonight, you know, is that something that we can change to a more favorable kind of debt, or is it too late? And you can answer me offline if not, but you just reminded me when you made that comment.
My understanding is these, and Rochelle can correct me if I'm wrong, but we cannot refinance the cabs.
Okay. Chakra.
She's okay. Nodding yes at me.
Yeah. Okay. Because we already kind of had the benefit of it all this time. And now it's payment time, essentially. Okay. Thank you.
Right. And they, yes, these are unusual. These are from 30 years ago, give or take. And they are unusual in that the interest is added onto the principal every year. So that's different. But they will be paid off in fiscal year 31. So that's the good news. That's good. Okay, next slide, please, April. Okay, this shows all of our revenues. This is all the revenues. So whether they're operating revenues, non-operating, or contributed capital. So the biggest line there is what you would expect, our water sales. And then we have two categories of property taxes. The first one is our restricted, which is the money we receive for State Water Project. We received $36 million in fiscal year 22. Our 1% property tax, we received $30 million. Our other things are, you know, our capacity fees, reimbursements for PERC. The next line is legacy debt revenue. and then interest, and then a little bit of federal grants. We got $3.9 million in federal grants, but we had pass-throughs to sub-grantees of about $3.5 million. So the net is that little tiny bar. Next slide, please, Jonathan. Okay, these are our expenses. These are operating expenses, and then the state water project and interest expense. So the big blue pie slice there is for state water project, and that comes out of our restricted property taxes for state water projects. So that has a separate funding source. But the good news, for those of you that like to tie things out, which is normally only me, but if you go back a slide, Jonathan, if you take our total revenues and then back to the next slide and subtract our total expenses, that equals our change in net position, which is what it's supposed to do. So if you want to know why our net position changed, it's because we got more revenue in than we had expenses. And then next slide, please. It's just the recommendation is that the Board of Directors receive and file our fiscal year 22 annual comprehensive report. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Amy, for the presentation. Before we go on with questions, let's check again for public comment. Oh, April is not there. So I'm going to assume that there are no public comments online, as we checked a few minutes ago, and there were not. So this is the receive and file item. If there's any further board discussion, or I would entertain a motion to receive and file. Motion by Director Cooper.
Second by RJ.
Did you want a second?
I wanted to second, and I also wanted to make a comment. But it's fine. RJ can have it.
Director Bronstein had her hand up before. I think that's you, RJ. But we will give her the honor of seconding this motion. But the board secretary is not there, I don't think. But
can I also make a comment?
Go ahead. Sure.
I just wanted to thank Amy so much for the presentation and also for going back. For catching that's just shows like what amazing, you know, staff we have and dedicated staff that went back and analyzed everything. I was like, wait, something. So thank you. And your presentation was amazing as well. Thank you very much.
Let's see if I got this. Before we... Okay, so this is 7.1, and thank you, Madam Secretary. We do have a motion and a second. First, the motion was by Director Cooper. The second was by Director Bronstein. And I would ask that you would call the roll.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Planbeck.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Vice President Orzechowski.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good. Thank you, Board. Thank you, staff, for the presentation. We can move on to item 8, annual consideration of the General Manager's Agreement. Under that is 8.1, consider salary determination and update the general manager's agreement following annual performance evaluation. Please note that there was a revised salary survey that was sent out last week and posted to the website, and it is at each of your spots. So I will begin the discussion on this item. I think we're all aware that General Manager Stone received an excellent performance evaluation from the board. The final evaluation has been sent out to everyone. And I would call your attention to the salary survey that was presented. And please note that general manager's salary is well below those that are in the column marked October, November, 2022, at least the what I would call the top half of the agencies that we consider comparators. And so I would like to, recognizing General Manager Stone's excellent performance evaluation this year, I would propose that we adjust his annual salary from $25,446 to an even $27,000. That would place him pretty much in the middle of the pack and represent about a 6.1% increase in his salary. And I would like to make that motion. Director Cooper.
Yes, you know, I think in consideration of the evaluation that the general manager received, his performance, and, you know, our agency now is, we're a big agency. We're the one of the largest in Southern California. We're both wholesale retail. We're importers. We're a member of the state water contractors. This has become a large organization. And I think it really showed the other day at the Christmas luncheon of how many employees that we have now. And they are just a tremendous staff that we've got. The general manager is doing a fine job. And really the agencies that are kind of in the top half of this are very comparable to the kind of operation that we have. Orange County Sanitation District, Coachella, Zone 7, those are all very comparable agencies, as well as Cayugas United. And I would second your motion for an even $27,000 compensation.
Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment before we open up to further board discussion or a vote?
We do not.
Very good. So we do have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion from the board before we call for the vote? Seeing none, I would ask Madam Secretary, please call the roll on the motion.
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Gutzeit.
Yes.
Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Armitage. Sorry.
Yes.
There we go. Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Peterson.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Vice President Ozohofsky.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The general manager's salary has been increased to $27,000. That's a 6.1% increase.
Thank you, board. And thank you, Mr. Stone, for your excellent performance as our general manager. We can move on to, coincidentally, we're moving on to item 9, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the board's action on that. Let me gather my notes here. I did have a few comments in follow-up on the evaluation. Just I had shared with the board as the practice has become a list of kind of combined organizational and personal efforts for 2022, and also gave you at least a first set of goals for 2023. And we are going to be doing a strategic plan this year too, so that will probably get way more into the details of our next several years of organizational goals. I'll just kind of highlight, I had some goals that were board related, the strategic plan itself as well, some drought response and conservation related goals, water resources related. We have a number of initiatives there we're still pursuing to firm up our reliability in the face of changes that we are trying to deal with. Groundwater treatment, continuing to implement groundwater treatment facilities, legal action and cost recovery for said groundwater treatment. So put those right together. staffing and HR related issues, financial efforts, as well as an effort to increase board literacy in our financials. So I think you've seen a couple of things, and we'll continue to see a quarterly presentation here at the board of our quarterly financial report, as well as Amy's excellent walkthrough of the audit. Who knew that an audit could be that much fun? I was very impressed with the flyover and the ability to put that into language that everyone can understand and context. So I appreciate that. Number of operational issues, technical engineering services, technical services. So you can kind of see it follows our organization a bit, and watershed related initiatives. I did have a more detailed 2-page list, but rather than read that to you, I'd be happy to just make sure as we go through the year to touch on some of those as they're happening and being realized. I do want to, part of that process is also the board has a chance to provide feedback on specific issues, and those are aggregated and categorized somewhat along the lines of the review format. And our facilitator for that has met with me to go over those, and we've had a subsequent follow-up meeting. Part of that process is I cull through that whole multi-page review and pull out some key focus areas for myself for the coming year. And I kind of categorize those in similar ways. So for GM and board communications and responsiveness, we'll continue to have our one-on-one meeting scheduled in about 30 to 60 minutes as suited for what the director's needs are for touching base. And they can be virtual or in person. And of course, April does a great job of riding herd on getting those on the calendar. Continuing to provide GM reports at the board meetings, and a suggestion that came out of that process also was notes. If for some reason we run out of time in a board meeting, we're okay tonight. We're not at the witching hour. But if so, I'll try to have backup notes available that could be sent around, which is this thing I'm generally trying to read from and put into easy words. I did see one comment that I was concerned about, which was not responding to emails. So I went back and reviewed correspondence. I can't identify the specific situation, but you have my commitment to be diligent about that as well. I want to give each of you permission that if I am not responding for some reason to a phone message or an email, there always is the chance it's fallen through the cracks or the IT spam filter. And feel free to contact myself or April to try to make sure that I get a prod. If I haven't responded to something, say within 48 hours, unless it's urgent, at which point you can contact anyone immediately if it's urgent. I would also ask, and I think the board has been very good about this, we want to have good communication about things that are happening. So there is a lot of access to our department heads and key technical staff for clarifying items, particularly to try to streamline questions that might come up in committee, help staff be prepared to answer those questions, or may even resolve them. I would just ask that when you do that, if you can copy me on the request or the question, that is helpful to me to know that that's taking place so that I am also as informed. The obvious exception would be if there's a complaint about me from staff, then don't copy me. Follow the correct protocol. Leave me out of it, because we want to make sure we do things above board from that standpoint. Another area of emphasis for us, and we've started that conversation in our management team, and there's a lot of enthusiasm about it. Really, I thought a really thoughtful feedback. There was sort of a positive and then a you can do better kind of a concept for that, which was the board is very pleased to be able to see a variety of staff growing their skills and making presentations in committees and at the board meeting. Again, Amy, nice job tonight. But there was also and we think you can even take another level higher, which is to try to elevate the level of presentation skills among all of those staff that are presenting and being more purposeful about it. So we will be doing some training and some thoughts about kind of standards and just trying to help everybody that's in that process. Some departments do sort of preview runs with a group of staff to kind of tire kick the presentation a bit, and we may try to spread that. Sometimes there isn't time, but we will try to elevate where we are in that, and I appreciate that that thoughtful feedback as well. Another element of that was referencing guiding documents. So we have sort of had an informal or a couple comments about that, and some departments have sort of embraced that. But we will be pushing to make that kind of the norm. So for example, when there's an action item, we will have a section on the board report form that will reference the applicable strategic plan goal or goals that item pertains to. So be working on some format changes for that in the first few months of next year. We talked about financial condition awareness already. One of the things we've had to put off because of COVID that Kathy has ready to go, will be launching is the Water Academy, which we are looking forward to. That as another avenue. We have many avenues to reach the public, but this will be yet another one, and for the public to reach us with their feedback. And then the last one that I really thought was a great suggestion, and we've done it a few years ago, but I think it is time to do it again. And I've started reaching out to a few of my peers at some of these agencies on the matrix, as well as a few that are further afield, to look at what tools they're using to assess the employee experience and get feedback on that. So we will be doing that at some point this year as well. So that's kind of a short list of focus areas in addition to the bigger organizational goals. And I have a couple of items on the actual GM report, if I can find it. Let's see. I was going to do this separate. There we go. Separate, because I wasn't sure when you were going to ask for my feedback on the review. Well, first, I want to acknowledge and thank three members of the board here tonight or remotely here in the case of RJ. Jeff, shortest term, so first acknowledgement, 3 good years, and really appreciated your diligence, and particularly being kind of the CEQA safety net for us a few times and saying, that wording could probably be better. And I think that's gotten the staff in habits of checking each time, and appreciate that. But also just your general interest and commitment, which I think many of the comments tonight spoke to. Lynn, it has been a pleasure. 5 years for this stint, and I have always appreciated, even when we would kind of push each other's buttons sometimes, that we always recovered and we had a good conversation. And appreciate your diligence on a number of issues. I think, as Gary said in one way, I think it's good to have the different thoughts in the room for that conversation. And I know we had our last one-on-one sort of, as you said, your exit interview just this last week. And it struck me that, one of the things about merging the agencies is it's put us in the same room together to have those conversations. And I hope that will continue. And I very much look forward to seeing you and hearing your perspective. And then RJ, I hope that you are ensconced somewhere comfortable with the grandkids, and appreciate your, I worked with you the longest of all, 7 years because of the time at Castaic. And I appreciate your ongoing diligence about financial issues and financial reporting, and working with our different financial staff during that transition period, and hanging in there and always having a kind of a, not a skeptical point of view, but willing to kind of look at things from a fresh point of view at different times. So thank you all for that. Not a ton of other things to report. I did attend several state water contractor meetings last week in Sacramento. We had some retirements from some very long-term technical and management staff from some of the other contractors. So we're still seeing that tsunami of retirements. And then as mentioned, we had our first staff holiday meeting, all staff meeting and luncheon for the first time since 2019 that we've been able to do that. And we had it at the activity center, which was low budget for us. City gives us a really nice deal and helps a great deal in terms of making sure that we can use that space once we pick a date that's not booked. And our impact committee, EMPACT, Employee Activity Committee, knocked it out of the park. That was the best holiday party I've been to in the public sector. I went to a pretty darn good one when I was in the private sector, but it was, and I mean that from the standpoint of fun, not largesse or luxury, but it just felt really fun. And there was points when I was just sitting back watching all these different little things happening, games in different corners and activities, and it seemed like there was something there that suited everyone. And so I very much appreciate that. And I think it was a nice capsulization of the emerging culture and spirit here that we are striving for. Work hard, have fun, and work hard again. So thank you for that. That's it for tonight.
Thank you, Matt. Before we go to questions from the board, do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
All right. Open it up for board discussion. Are there any questions? Director Gutsay.
Just a quick comment. I want to, I'll go ahead and second that was the funnest public sector Christmas party. And I'm going to recognize Rochelle, who was the queen of the games extraordinaire at Newhall County Water District, getting that tradition in here. And I want to share that I talked to a relatively new employee of the agency that I know tangentially through the community. And they said they really felt welcomed, and they really felt that everyone was pulling in the same direction at this agency. And it was, again, a fun place to work, a rewarding place to work. So that actually meant a lot to me, too, just hearing that at the event and, getting to have that conversation and getting to have some individual conversations with other people that maybe we primarily see on Zoom even now, got to know some people better. So I think there was a lot of good vibes for that event. Thank you.
Any other comments about Director Bronstein?
I want to echo the thoughts about the holiday party. And it was, for me, it was very interesting because most people didn't know who I was. I got people thinking that I was in my 30s and that. So it was really great because, no, honestly, normally that gets me upset. But however, they thought I was just somebody from a different department that just newly got to the board. So not to the board, to the agency. They thought I worked there. So they were talking to me probably maybe a little bit more honestly than they would if they knew that I was the board director. And don't be like, it was really nice though. And first of all, we have great people working for us that are just willing to talk to anybody and like very accepting and encouraging and all that. But they also had really good things to say about the agency. So then they got a little taken aback later on when I revealed that I was, because then they're like, so what do you do? And I'm like, well, I think between the jumper and the purple hair, I probably got them, right? So it means a lot about management that attracts those kind of people and that encourages them and makes them want to stay. And so thank you to you guys. You guys are all doing a really great job. Thank you.
Good job. Any other, Director Armitage?
I'll just briefly say that, when you think about how much time we all spend
at work. You know, we actually spend more time with our coworkers and in our workplaces than we do with our own families. And so it's nice to see that there is kind of a culture of, you know, family away from family here at the agency. And it was really pleasant and joyful to see that. So thank you.
Well, I have to say, Mr. Stone added a new dimension to the ugly sweater with the hooded, masked, ugly sweater outfit. And quite impressive. And it's hard to look at Courtney now without seeing that ugly sweater and his outfit and Rochelle and her lighted antler group on that table. And it was all so much fun. And I appreciate it. And actually, I was a little disappointed we weren't going to do an evening spouses included. But now after this, my comment was, it's kind of hard to take this away from the employees now the way we did it this time. So good job, Kathy. Excellent. And we had a lot of fun. So with that concludes the general manager's report and our responses, unless there's others that wish to comment. We can move on to item 10, committee report, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. There are two committee reports in your folder. Are there any comments or questions from the board? Seeing none, were there any public comments, April?
There is not.
Move on to item 11, president's report. I'll try to be quick. Update on the following items: outside the agency events. Urban Water Institute Spring Water Conference will be held in Palm Springs on February 22 to 24, 2023. And the SCB Chamber of Commerce Centennial Celebration Awards and Installation, that's a mouthful, being held at the Canyon Country Community Center at 6 p.m. on February 23, right smack dab in the middle of the Urban Water Institute Conference. Upcoming board meetings starting at 6 p.m., the regular board meeting on January 3, January 17, and a special board meeting on January 30 for the sexual harassment prevention training for the board of directors. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of January held at Summit Circle in the ESS boardroom at 5:30 will be the January 3 engineering and operations, the January 11 water resources and watershed, and the January 19th public outreach and legislation. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of January held at Rio Vista right here. January 23, rescheduled finance and administration committee meeting. And in other announcements, the Urban Water Institute Honor of Lifetime Services and Water Leadership Recognition Certificate for Jerry Gladbach that was presented at the Urban Water Institute annual conference in August of 2022 in San Diego is now displayed in the hallway right outside the boardroom. If you haven't looked at it yet, I suggest you take a moment to read it. It's excellent, and we will probably be featuring that at our January 17th meeting where we honor Jerry with his water drop and resolution. Starting at the first meeting in February 2023, we will be going back to serving dinner prior to the board meeting. Dinner will be served in the discovery room and will be served no later than 5:30 prior to the start of the board meeting. Note, the public will have access to the discovery room during the board dinners. There will be an Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Powers Authority meeting and Devil's Den Water District meeting following tonight's board meeting. So please, those who are on those two boards, please stick around. And I just shortcutted that. For those who sit on the board, please do not leave or after tonight's board meeting. Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Powers Authority consists of directors Cooper, Ford, Ozahusky, and myself. Those on the Devil's Den Water District Board consist of directors Collie, Cooper, Ford, DePremio, welcome Bob, and Kelly. At each of your spots is our annual delivery of the Devil's Den Water District honey. Thank you to Tim Wheeler for going to get it and bring it to us each year. That concludes the president's report for tonight. Do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Do we have any questions or discussion from the board? Good luck with that, man. All right, we go to AB 1234 reports. There were four AB 1234 reports included in your packet and one that was posted to the website and sent out via email. Does anyone have an additional AB 1234 report tonight? Director Armitage.
Thank you. The Executive Committee of the Special District Association of North LA County met virtually on December 14th to get updates related to the California Special District Association and to continue planning for the first general membership meeting of the new year, which will take place on January 25th, 11:30 to 1:30. It will be here at SCB Water. We are hosting, and Ms. Martin has been working hard to get all the logistics ready for that. So thank you, Ms. Martin. And invitations, I believe, will be going out really soon. So we hope you can join us for that event. Thank you.
Director Peterson.
Yes, I had a one-on-one meeting with our general manager yesterday, and it was really my chance to learn more things about what's been going on, including how these meetings are supposed to go with the general manager. I was absence of thinking that I was going to meet him here, but actually it was supposed to be online, which I could not make it work for me. It's a learning experience, and we'll continue to learn more about that. But I had a wonderful meeting with him on the phone, and that always talking about a little bit of history, bringing me back up to speed on what's been going on the last 5 years since I left the Valencia Water Company. And I appreciate that meeting with him and look forward to him next year also.
Thank you, Director Peterson. Any other AB 1234s? Seeing none, I usually submit mine in writing to avoid this time, but I will have to make a report. On the December 13th, I attended the VIA luncheon at COC University Center. Senator Wilk attended to swear in the 2023 VIA Board of Directors that include our very own Kathy Martin. It was a good event, and I think Senator Wilk did a nice job to entertain as well as swear in the directors. Also on December 13th, I had the honor of attending the City Council organizational meeting at City Hall to present Mayor West with a certificate of recognition for her 2022 term as mayor. The certificate read as follows: in honor of her commitment, dedication, and service to the City of Santa Clarita, the Santa Clarita Valley, and the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency, December 2021 to December 2022. I made a few additional comments about her work in supporting the creation of SCB Water, and that it is paying dividends now as we go through a historic drought and relying on some of our dry year water supplies. Also on December 15th, I attended the December meeting of the Delta Conveyance Design and Construction Authority, DCA, Board of Directors. Items covered, the easy ones, the approval of previous minutes. We also approved for the last time the extension of remote meetings per AB 361. And let's see, we had received and filed a clean audit report. And one action item was approval of the Joint Exercise of Power Agreement Amendment 7 to the Exercise of Power Agreement was an administrative item changing the repayment date of the DWR initial contribution from January 10, 2023 to January 10, 2025. And that concludes my report. Seeing no further AB 12, do we have any public comment on that, April?
We do not.
Very good. Seeing no further AB 1234 reports, we do have a closed session item tonight. A closed session item to discuss the conference with real property negotiators as listed in your agenda, item 13.1. And with that, I would like to adjourn to closed session. We'll take a 5-minute break while we get the room cleared for our closed session discussion. We will be back in session. It is now 8:26, so let's try to get back settled by 8:30 if we can do it, or as soon as we can. Thank you all. We are back in open session, and we can move to item 14, closed session announcements. Mr. Bone.
President Martin, members of the board met in closed session under section 54956.8 to discuss the property listed in the agenda. No reportable action was taken.
Thank you, Mr. Bone. We can move to item 15, director requests for approval of future agenda items. And before I ask for any requests for future agenda items, I'd like to review once again what a future agenda item is. Future agenda items are something that the whole board should receive information on and would benefit both the public and the board at a regular meeting. An informational item, on the other hand, or something that you would like to have further information on as a director that can be requested and received from staff and, if applicable, sent to the full board. Are there any requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, before we move to adjournment, I want to remind members of the Upper Santa Clara Valley JPA and Devil's Den that members of those boards to please do not leave. Once again, the members of the Upper Santa Clara Valley JPA are Directors Cooper, Ford, Ozahosky, and Martin, and the Devil's Den District Board consists of Directors Colley, Cooper, Ford, DePremio, and Kelly. And with that, Director Bronstein, what would you like to say?
There's no director reports this time, but I'm a person that believes in visibility. So it is the third night of Hanukkah, and I wanted to wish everyone that celebrates a happy Hanukkah, because by next time it won't be Hanukkah anymore. So yes, happy Hanukkah to everyone.
Thank you, Director Bronstein. And with that, we are adjourned, but I will say once again, thank you, Director Ford, for your service. Thank you, Director Planbeck, for your service. We will see you all in 2023, unless you're on the Upper Santa Clara Valley, JP.